of Olympus Hope Sports. Right now, I have three awesome guests lined up to help try to analyze the NFL draft that's about to happen this Thursday. I have with us a college athlete. He plays for the California State University Sacramento State Hornets for football. His name is Marshawn Hunter. I'm going to let him introduce himself, and we'll go from there on the rest of the introductions.
Hey, y'all. My name is Marshawn Hunter. I play at Sac State. My position, I play outside linebacker, and I'm looking forward to see what the season brings to us and to see what other positions, they'll have me playing this season.
Our next guest is a fanatic when it comes to the NFL. He can tell you every single stat. He knows everything about it. He's a crazy Seahawks fan. His name is Brandon Churon. I'll let him introduce himself.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. So my name is Brandon Churon. I've been a big NFL fan my whole life. I also, since I was like seven, I also follow college football a good amount, and I like all other sports. I play football and basketball for fun, and I'm really looking forward to the draft. I think it's going to be great. Great thing for us because this terrible coronavirus gives us a taste of sports and lets fans get excited about something. And hopefully we have an NFL season. So that's basically it.
And our last guest for this show is Austin Bristol. He is as crazy as he gets about basketball and football. He knows a lot about every other sport there is. He can give us a lot of good details and good thoughts. Take it away, Austin.
Thanks, Michael. Hey, I'm Austin, by the way. I'm a huge NFL fan. My favorite team is the Chicago Bears, and hopefully this draft will be productive, and hopefully things will turn out to be all right.
And I want to go back to what Brandon just said. You know, you said hopefully we have this NFL draft, the season of the NFL. And that is one of our first topics for this segment today. With everything that's going on and college athletes, especially the football players, announcing for the draft, is this the best, I should say, time for them to be doing that? Should they maybe hold off and say, you know what, we'll do it next year? Should we hold off on this NFL and play another season of college football because that might still be going on? Because, let's face it, in Santa Monica County area, they said no sports for the whole entire 2020. So that's a huge thing. Like, where do the 49ers play now then, if football season does happen? Where do several teams, because around the country, they're saying, sorry, we're not allowing sports to happen. So is this really, the best time period or college athletes to be saying, yeah, you know what, I'm going to announce for the draft? Let's start off with Marshawn and get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so I feel like that if there are college athletes that are ready, I feel like, go for it. It's, it's a straight shot for you, and it's just you and the NFL at that point. For those who do feel kind of iffy about whether they, want to go in or out, I feel like those are the ones that should go out and not, declare for the draft. This is a time period where it gives athletes a lot of time to prepare. It gives them a lot of time to grow and just express themselves through training and stuff like that.
You bring up that point about training, and I'm going to ask you, Brandon, this question. With this whole entire coronavirus problem, how are athletes supposed to go to training camp? They're talking about starting up the baseball season in a couple of weeks, but they're saying we're going to need about 2 or 3 weeks of spring training again to energize everyone, get everyone back into the shape they need to be for a season to start. How can the NFL do something like this if this coronavirus is holding off and saying, sorry, we have to quarantine everyone still, you got to stay home, social distancing? How can they hold the training camps? And is that really something that's going to be able to be done? Because let's face it, not everyone in the draft is the right off the bat, I should say, starting QB or starting safety that they can then transition from college football to NFL playing football. So how do we try to fix this problem that's going on?
Yeah, it's a really good point. The OTAs, the offseason, the organized team activities, those are canceled right now. And for the first round draft picks and all these highly sought after prospects and one of the best drafts in years, those guys are going to be able to fit in with any team. They'll just have to, you know, learn the playbook. It comes down to things like that. You know, people already know their talent. It's off the board. And I think really, one thing we'll have, though, is some players, either some veterans who are on the fringe of making a roster, or some of these 6th, 7th, and undrafted rookies that we see making impact on NFL teams. It's very important to see, you know, how they're going to fit in, because when they get drafted, have a chip on their shoulder, and we have some of that limited, and we only get, let's say, 3 or 4 weeks to really get things going for the NFL season, which hopefully doesn't happen. And at worst case, I think Kirk Cousins brought up the point that we'll play games without fans, because the NFL makes so much money, it's a $1 billion corporation, that that basically, you know, those players are going to, it's going to affect them. I do think, based on the point about players coming out, I think most of them should definitely come out. And in the NFL, it's not like the college basketball where, you know, it definitely affects with the tournament being out. Some of the players, seniors, or maybe like might not come out. All these players were by at least 2 years of college ball. They're you know, 21, 22 at least when they come out. So most of those players, you know, they're going to be able to get a good payday. And if they're projected to get drafted, you know, it's not going to affect them too much. But again, later round players and undrafted players, this coronavirus will have a significant impact on them. So, you know, GMs and coaches have to do their job of, you know, contacting the players as much as possible to get them prepared for everything they're going to need to know.
Austin, why don't you give us your feedback after what you heard from Brandon?
So, even though what's going on, especially the NFL and all the sports, was kind of bad, but in my honest opinion, I don't think the players should not be affected as much, because no matter what happens, their value will be the same. It's just that they don't want to lose the value, lose their place in the draft and wait next year, because they could risk the chance of being a lower draft, and that's why they're doing it so quickly. Especially with the NFL, most of the revenue comes from TV revenue. So if the fans don't show up to the games, then they only lose like a portion of that revenue. So no matter what happens, they will still be alright. But MLB and NBA, I don't know how much revenue they get from TV. But the NFL, most of their revenue comes from TV ratings instead of the fans.
Yeah. A lot of sports too, the NBA gets crazy ratings, I think.
Not as crazy as the NFL.
Yeah.
NFL, when it comes to marketing and also this whole entire idea of getting money from TV revenue, there's no one better than the NFL when it comes to this. With that being said, I'm going to throw out a couple of names here. And I want your thoughts, just general feedback. So there's a college player. He's a quarterback for the Utah State, Jordan Love. Right now, I see him like a Mahomes, you know, Patrick Mahomes. I think he has the same type of caliber play. I think he would be a great asset to any team that drafts him. But the problem is, where does he land in the draft? And I know we were talking before on, we went on air, I talked to Marshawn a little bit, like saying, do you know who he is? Because not many people know his name. So I wanted your thoughts on him. Marshawn, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so for Jordan, he wasn't one of the players that I was truly like keeping like a full eye on, but I have seen him, you know, left and right. I heard his names, you know, a couple times be said here and there. You know, draft-wise, I think, you know, like, as you were saying, yes, he is like a young Patrick Mahomes, you know, very mobile kid. Draft-wise, though, I think that I think he'd get a pretty, like, nice spot in top 20, you know. I'd say for QB himself, he'd be around, like, the, like, 4th, 5th QB, you know, to be drafted. So it'll be pretty interesting, but it, you know, seeing like the way this kid was moving, you know, just throughout the season, it was pretty good.
And now I'm bringing Brandon. Joe Burrow, you know, he won the Heisman. He won the national championship, you know. But when comparing him to an NFL player, to a QB, past or present, the name to me and to a lot of people keeps coming back to Tony Romo. You know, he completed over 87% of his passes, like, during the game against Florida. And he played really well throughout the season. Like, does he remind you of a young Tony Romo? But does he have a better chance, you know, of actually what a team he goes to, giving them a Super Bowl championship? That is the real question. Can he bring the success that he had at the college level into the big show?
Yes, that's a really good point. Yeah, Tony Romo is definitely the comp that everyone's been talking about. He had a pretty good junior season. His senior season, though, was amazing. You know, he's a really accurate quarterback when you watch him. He comes off the screen, you know, unlike Jordan Love, who his senior year, due to a lot of his lack of talent at Utah State, he didn't necessarily put up great numbers. You know, I didn't follow Utah State too much, but when you were talking about, you know, Mahomes, he was the type of player where you'd watch Texas Tech and you just, like, really enjoy watching the game because of how crazy good the kid was. But with Joe Burrow, he has so much talent, you know, and there was a lot of talent around him. But when you were watching him, you know, he was just jumping off the screen. And I've always said that my opinion is that Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields were the two best college – I mean, are the two most talented college football quarterbacks. But Joe Burrow, you know – he beat Trevor Lawrence. You know, he popped off, and LSU was amazing this year. And I think that he definitely has a lot of confidence to him. And, I mean, with every number one overall quarterback, you know, there's a lot of risk-reward. But I think that he's got a great chance for the Bengals, who's 99% he's going to. They have some good weapons around him with Tyler Boyd, A.J. Green, really talented receivers that even John Ross has some talent. And I think that he's kind of like, he reminds me a little bit of Baker Mayfield, but I think he's a little bit better even. In terms of being mobile, has a good arm, you know, crazy accurate, doesn't make too many mistakes. So I think that for a team like the Bengals, you know, a lot of people are talking about how they're a bad organization. In my opinion, they're not that bad of an organization. You know, they've had some minor playoff success. Sure, they're not the flashiest team in the league, but I think that he could bring a lot to them and take them to a step that Andy Dalton couldn't elevate them to. So, I mean, him and Tua are very close talent-wise, but of course that Tua's injury is a real concern for a lot of teams. So Joe Burrow, you know, I think he's a safe pick, and people compare him to Tony Romo. I think Tony Romo is a very good quarterback, you know, similar to the likes of Matt Ryan. You know, just because he didn't have a Super Bowl or wasn't the clutchest player, you know, it doesn't mean he's bad or anything. So I think Joe Burrow, you know, he's going to be a great player, and I'm really looking forward to it. You know, there's not too many negatives about the kid.
Yes, the opposite of Drew Brees. I don't know what you think.
name, I think he will be good no matter what. Like, kind of like what we talked about with Joe. He's going to be a good quarterback, but I just think that the first year would not be the greatest for just like the amount of pressure that he's going to go. But overall, I think no matter what, he'll be okay. But it's going to take some time for him to rebuild and to train. It takes a long time to get used to the NFL, and usually the first 2 years is not the greatest. If you compare it to Peyton Manning in his rookie season, it's probably one of the worst rookie season for a quarterback we've ever seen. So, no matter what happens, I think he'll be fine.
But yeah, just like Austin was saying, you know, not everybody's, you know, first season is going to be, you know, like that season. It's not going to be like that stardom season, you know. So, I agree with him. I feel like his rookie season is going to be one of those ones where he sees how everything's going, and then he'll catch up, he'll pick up on it, like, you know, and it'll just start, you know, being the snowball effect.
Yeah, I think that, you know, he's definitely, we have to figure about his injuries. He might have to be groomed a little bit, which is what a lot of people say, you know, the popular term is, let's groom this quarterback for a year or two. That never happens in today's NFL. There's so much social media, fans, there's so much pressure on teams to throw a quarterback into the mix right away. And really, I mean, we saw it with Mahomes, because Alex Smith was a very solid quarterback, that they gave him a year off. But what I see him going to is maybe the Chargers, you know. Tyrod Taylor is good, but he's the type of guy where just like when Baker Mayfield came to the league, he got meshed immediately. I mean, they put him in like right away. So I think Tua on the right team will have some pretty good success. You know, a lot of young quarterbacks have had success, but again, it's situation by situation, and you might not want to just throw him under the fire. So I think that he's a pretty safe pick if he's healthy, but the injury concerns are a lot. So yeah, no, definitely. I think wherever he goes, you know, he'll be solid in his rookie season, in my opinion.
Extent, I believe that the fans, you know, will play their part on, you know, who they want to see on their team and who is, you know, available at the time, obviously. Yeah, fans are definitely something that will get everybody aroused and, you know, to have everybody inside the, during the draft, you know, riled up and stuff.
Yeah, so I think, you know, when it comes to drafting a player, I don't think necessarily fans have too much to say on that. You can see with Daniel Jones last year, you know, the fans were kind of mad they drafted him. He was drafted you know, second, third round, sixth overall, and then he has a good game, and everyone's saying, like, oh, he's amazing, you know, and when they start the new guy, you know, fans get super hyped up, and even though, like, a player like that, I don't think is necessarily going to wind up being that good, unpopular opinion, I know, but I think that when you draft a young player, you know, it really hypes up the fans, and they want to see them on the field, and especially the quarterbacks, and I know as a fan of my team, you know, when the Seahawks drafted, like, a flashy player like DK Metcalf, who's a athletic beast of wide receiver, you know, he's one of the, he has, like, all the potential in the world. I was super hyped about that. But then Seahawks might also, this is just speaking from fans' perspective, draft player that nobody, I think, that that the GMs know more, and that's going to have more of an effect than the fans on who gets on the field and who's drafted.
And I hate to interrupt you, but this is really important to require you to take all of your time. It's just been reported, you know, the Buccaneers are securing a trade with the Patriots, yet Gronkowski, who out of retirement, to come play with Brady. He said he wants to play with Brady again. I don't know what your thoughts on that.
It's literally right now, there seems to be working on a thing where the Buccaneers will give away their fourth and seventh round picks.
I think this is a big, huge game changer in the idea of it.
Yeah. Does this, like, it's breaking right now. He officially is going to Tampa Bay. So, what does this do to the NFL, especially with the draft round? Do the Broncos, I mean, sorry, do the Buccaneers really need a new tight end? Or are we set to see a Super Bowl run here by the Buccaneers? It takes. Go ahead, please, help me for you.
You should start out, Austin. You probably want to get something in first.
In my opinion, I think this is actually pretty big because I kind of feel like that Rob Gronkowski retired because he might have beef with the Patriots and he doesn't want to admit it to the public that what's going on. And he's probably just been resting for the past year. So he probably been waiting until Tom Brady leaves New England so he could join with Tom in Tampa. But in my honest opinion, I think the Buccaneers have a good chance of making a Super Bowl or title run, but it might not be a whole enough to beat, let's see, the Saints won't be really dangerous, but and then after that, I think they'll be good, and I don't know if they need any more players, but right now, it doesn't matter, no matter what happens in the draft, they're pretty much set to go.
And let's go with Marshawn. Let's build up on that idea there.
You know, I've seen, I've definitely seen Tom Brady and Gronkowski, you know, growing up and stuff. And, like, these two are, you know, such a great dynamic duo. Imagine them not, you know, making a run for playoffs, championship, Super Bowl. You know, they have always been, you know, back to back, and they can always. It's always a time to build. So it might not be this season, but it could be next season. You know, that they end up, you know, making playoffs, and then, you know, after that, you know, Super Bowl. So I definitely agree. I definitely think that they're in it to win it for another bowl game.
Let me transition to you, Brandon. Gronkowski signed a contract. Not many, a lot of people, if you follow wrestling, the WWE will know this. He signed a contract with them. So what does this do now? You know, is he doing both? Like, he has a contract. He can't get out of the WWE. So what is going to happen here now?
But, I don't know too much of the legal facts about that, but WWE, you know, obviously, I mean, a lot of people know now that that's fake, you know, people still watch it because it's so popular, but he could still do some acting jobs inside or, you know, work for them a little bit. But the Gronk thing's absolutely crazy. You know, I agree with what both you guys said. With the Patriots, it's such a academic, like, strong, like, structure thing, and Gronk, if you know, like, off the field, you know, he's a partier, he's a super fun guy. So I think this is going to be really good for Tampa Bay. They obviously have O.J. Howard and Cameron Brady, who are both really good. We don't know how much Gronk has in the tank. He still has some injury concerns. But in my opinion, this boosts the Buccaneers from this new playoff expansion team, I think now they're firmly in the playoffs. Before I thought they're fringe. Now with the 17 playoffs, you know, I don't want to crown all-season champions because we saw the Browns, you know, they weren't very good when but everyone's freaking out they got Odell. So I think for this, you know, with all the weapons the Buccaneers have, and you know, now that they have to go to Tom Brady, you know, they'll be able to make playoffs and they'll be able to do some noise. I still think the Saints, 49ers, and Seahawks still better teams, but I think that that Tampa Bay, you know, they have a shot. But now that they have Tom Brady and all his offensive weapons, that's going to be crazy, and I think that Gronk's going to do his part. And the WWE thing, I think there's probably a way for him to get out of it. Maybe there isn't. Either way, he'll make it work. And if this is really happening, it's crazy news. And yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
So let's get on to the NFL. All right. So we got the number one, Cincinnati Bengals. You know, in offense, they were ranked 30th last year. In defense, they were ranked 25. In the special teams, they did pretty decently. They were ranked number 16 overall. But their overall ranking was 31. So my question is, who did they draft? You know, is it John Burrow? Or Joe Burrow, sorry. Or is it, you know, maybe someone that can help make their defense better? Because that's where they were really lacking. You know, they may have been ranked 25 overall, but it seemed like a lot of the times they kept blowing games. So my question is, who do you think they should draft? And are they just going to go with every analyst that's saying right now, you know, Joe Burrow? So let's start off with Marshawn and go from there.
You know, based off of the information that I know about Cincinnati, you know, I feel like they need, you know, that strong leader to, you know, obviously put them back on the right track. And having them, you know, getting an offensive player like Joe Burrow, like, I feel like that's going to do the job for them. It, you know, I hear a lot of, you know, coaches, fans tell me that, you know, defense this, defense that, like, defense wins games. But, you know, offense has to score the rock. Offense has to, you know, offense has to do their job as soon as defense is done doing their job. And it all, you know, it all plays a part, but I definitely think that their offensive player, Joe Burrow, he's the man that's gonna, you know, put this team back in charge.
Let's transition. You know, this concept, you're right. A lot of times, like, defense is the way to go. But you're right. You do need offense, because without offense, you're not gonna get any points for the defense to actually defend. So the question is, how do you get that right player, right leadership? I mean, is Joe Burrow really that right person to lead Cincinnati? You know, or is he better suited somewhere else? Or is there another player that Cincinnati should draft that might be a better pick overall for him? You know, overall for the team. Like, is there somewhere in all the draft orders that Joe Burrow might go instead? Is there a possibility, or is he going number one? Thoughts, everyone?
I think that, you know, if there wasn't one other place he would go, and I think Joe Burrow, there were rumors that he wants to go here, was Miami. There's been rumors that I don't think are true, that, you know, he didn't want to play in Cincinnati. You know, I think that's BS. You know, if you're a number one pick, you're going to play where you get drafted, and I think that he's an excellent leader. You know, a lot of draft experts are saying Chase Young is by far is the best player in the draft, you know, most talented defensive end. You know, that's a very important position, and we've seen it with last year. You know, Kyler Murray went number one overall, and he's looked really good in his rookie season, but Nick Bosa is obviously the best player in the draft, but people go with quarterbacks, and I'm 99% sure that Joe Burrow is going to be Cincinnati Bengal. Their coach, Zach Taylor, you know, he worked under Sean McVay, that's an offensive juggernaut he built up there, and you need the quarterback to lead that, and the Bengals seem like they're done with Andy Dalton. You know, if they got Chase Young and stuck with Andy Dalton or Ryan Finley, the fourth round pick they had last year, they would maybe, you know, they would be better overall. Like, not better overall, but they'd have more pieces. But Joe Burrow is going to elevate that team to a new level, and the quarterback's the most important position in sports. And I think it's 100% that, or 99% that Joe Burrow is going to go there, and he's an excellent leader. One thing people have seen is that, you know, he galvanizes the team, he brings teams to the next level. We saw that at LSU, they used to have sophomore quarterback play. He comes there, they're a national champion in 2 years, so he's a great leader, and he's going to be the guy for the Bengals, in my opinion.
And let me ask Austin this question, you know. Is the whole entire idea of, you know, one player could change the whole entire NFL team, you know, in basketball, one player can do that. LeBron, for an example, you know, he changed the Heat, Cleveland Cavaliers into contender, you know, going to the Eastern Conference, you know, right off the bat. But in the NFL, that's not really the case. One player cannot be that, you know, huge beacon and be like, ta-da, I'm going to change the whole entire team. So my question is, can one player really do that?
I say yes and no, because it's a really complicated answer for the NFL, because there are like 52 players in a team, and especially with the NFL, it's a team effort to win. However, there'd be one guy that will help and motivate other players to be better, but one player can't carry the whole team. I know, like, Tom Brady is probably the best quarterback to ever live, but if you think about it, he has a good team with him, and he's a leader and make other players around him good. So if Joe is around with players that are good and will motivate each other and make a difference, then I feel like one player could make a huge difference of what the NFL team's all about. I mean, it's just, I just want to say that hopefully with the Bengals, I think they'll make the good decision of drafting Joe, but it's going to take a while for him to grow. But that's just, one player can make a difference. In other teams, no, but others, yes. Like, look at Patrick Mahomes. He pretty much helped the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, and without him, they would never be in the Super Bowl in the first place.
Well, I could make the argument that, you know, he has Terry Kills, he has a lot of great wide receivers.
That's true.
He's great running back.
So, yeah, I mean, that's great, and that's what, like, Alex, that's good. Patrick Mahomes is great. That's why they go from divisional round playoff team to Super Bowl team.
Exactly. Right. So one player could make a difference. It's just that the other players have to, like, help that one player in order to go to the Super Bowl.
And then let me bring the argument, play devil advocate, to this whole entire idea of a little bit more. All-star MVP changed the way that we think of the NFL and how, what the problem is, you know. So that's just a thought to actually think of. But I want to transition first and talk about the number two overall, the Washington Redskins. You know, they ranked dead last in offense for last year. In defense, they didn't do as much as well. They ranked number 27th overall, which was really disappointing to see. But this episode of the special teams, they finished fourth. But overall rankings, they finished worst than the Cincinnati Bengals, and they were number 32 overall out of all 32 teams. So my question to you, Marshawn, is who in God's name are they going to choose? You know, Joe Burrow might have been the best pick for them, but who do you pick?
It's a little iffy with them. You know, I haven't been, you know, following up on them. You know, they haven't been, you know, showing their name as much. There's not a lot of recognition from them. But I would say that the Redskins, they for sure need a defensive player. Yeah, I definitely think that they need a defensive player, and, you know, I think they should be a linebacker. Just to...
Do you think Chase Young would be a good pick for them?
You know, I think Chase, I don't think... If Chase Young was to go there, I would say that they would need, you know, somebody else to you know, like, help them and, like, you know, like, get them that, like, recognition. You know, like, just like we were going back earlier, you know, talking about, like, leaders and, you know, to build a team and stuff like that. I definitely, for sure, the Washington Redskins would need multiple people, you know, to help build that team. So I would say Chase Young would be a good fit for them, but they would also need somebody else.
Okay. Let's move on, because we got a lot. We got 32 teams here. So let's clamp these two teams together, because I personally think they both struggled in certain areas, but they showed so many signs of promise. Whereas the Detroit Lions and the New York Giants. Now, offensively, respectively, the Lions ranked number 19th, while the Giants ranked number 25. And in defense, they were one away from each other. Lions were number 29, while the Giants were number 28. However, in special teams, the best special teams out there was the Detroit Lions last season, compared to the Giants, where they ranked respectively at number 17, which isn't awful, but it's not the best either. So, out of these two teams, who should they pick, you know? Because let's be real, they have decent offenses. They've had it for a while. They had the blueprint, especially in the Giants' case now, for the last year, grooming their new QB. And then you have a Pro Bowl caliber player in Detroit running the QB slot. So my question is, what is needed? It seems like defense is the big beacon, because, you know, they're ranked number 29, 28, respectively. But is it really defense that's needed, or maybe more offense? Thoughts? Let's start off with Brandon, and then we'll end up with Austin.
Okay, yeah, so with Detroit, Matthew Stafford, he's a very good quarterback. We don't know if he's going to be the long-term future. That's why there were a few people thinking maybe they would take Tua. I don't think they're going to take him that early, because when Stafford went out with a minor injury, that I don't know why he wasn't back in week 7, whatever, maybe it was because they're out of contention at that point. I think the defense is very, you know, very important for them. They got Darius Slay, who is a all-pro caliber cornerback, but I think they're going to take Jeffrey Okuda. But also, one player that's really interesting that, I mean, I'm pretty sure the Redskins can take Chase Young, but Isaiah Simmons, either the Lions or the Giants would be a really interesting fit, because he's such an all-around good defense player. You know, the linebacker position is undervalued a little bit in NFL these days, but he can play on third down because he's so good at coverage. And I think that maybe he's a fit for the Giants, but another player that's been linked to the Giants a tiny bit, which I thought was funny a little bit, because I'm not a big Daniel Jones. I'm not sold on the guy yet. Was that Justin Herbert was linked a little bit with the Giants, but I think the Giants might go offensive line, and I think the Lions are going to go Jeffrey Okuda. So those are the two players that I would, or the two spots I think that those teams would go with. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that goes, because the first two picks are kind of 90% set in stone, but after that, you know, there can be trade ups, all sorts of things. So we'll see.
And let me get to Austin then on that point. You agree with what Brandon stated here? Disagree? Or is there something you would have done, said something differently?
Well, I actually agree with them. I think with the Lions, I think they had a good team. I just think their quarterback would not be their long term like goal. But especially in the draft, if the Lions were, in my opinion, I think the Lions should trade their draft pick, maybe like with, let's just say the Chargers or the Dolphins, and try and get more draft picks and get their other draft pick, because that's what they did with San Francisco and in Chicago a couple years ago, and it turns out San Francisco got the benefit of the whole trade. But in my opinion, like the first 10 picks, someone's gonna swap. And someone's going to probably make a good long-term decision or long-term goal. But especially with the Lions, they had a good defense. I think they need to buff out like a little bit more. The quarterback, though, I don't think he's too confident in himself to be a playoff contender, in my opinion.
So we're back from our brief little break. So while we were in the middle of our break, we were talking, you know, about there's a couple changes now. You know, Oakland Raiders no longer around. You have the Las Vegas Raiders. They have a couple of picks in the first round. We're going to get to them later on in the show. And who do we think they need to actually pick up? What type of positions might they need to get? And so we'll get to that. I want to talk about, you know, we talked about the Panthers, the Chargers, and obviously the Dolphins. But I want to talk about two teams. Actually, let's make it three teams that should have done pretty well, that sadly landed flat on their butts. You know, we had the Cardinals, the Jaguars, and the Browns. You know, they were supposed to do pretty decent last season. Yet for some reason, they all ended up, you know, 6-10, 6-10. And then the Cardinals, weird, bizarre season, 5-10-1. So let's dive into that, you know. Offensively, Cardinals were really good. You know, they were ranked number 13. Defensively, they were only one away from, you know, being dead last. What in God's name do they have to do to really change stuff up there? And then the sense of the Jaguars, they finished 26 overall for offense and defense, and they were number 28th overall rankings. And we go to the Cleveland Browns, they were number 22, and number 22 again for offense and defense, with special teams coming in number 9 and overall ranking number 23. So, you know, it's interesting, these stats, you know, on how they're doing certain things that were supposed to work for them. You know, it was supposed to be the 8th year for the Browns. They were supposed to win their first division. That didn't happen. You know, Jaguars were supposed to give everyone another surprise and make the playoffs as a wild card team. But that didn't happen. And the Cardinals, with their hot new QB, flamed out. You know, they were on fire. Everyone was like, oh, man, there was a period. Like, for 3 weeks, they were like, oh, damn. They are real serious. And then all of a sudden, that didn't happen. So let me go to you, Brandon, on these three teams' thoughts quickly. You know, give me – let's do a speed round on this from all three of you. Okay. Give me, like, a minute on each one, and we can go on to the next person.
Yeah. So Cardinals, Jaguars, and Browns. Okay, so the Browns, they lost a lot of – they were a little overhyped, overconfident coming season. You know, they get the flashy player in Odell. Everyone's talking about how great Baker Mayfield is. He had a down – he didn't have a great season, but they have talent. You know, Nick Chubb, they have Odell, who – Odell and Jarvis Landry. Odell had some drop issues last year. You know, they have good defense. So I think they'll go offensive tackle with maybe Tristan Wirfs or Jedrick Wills. You know, those are two good players. The Cardinals, they didn't have too much of an expectation coming in, but because they're in such a tough division and they had rookie quarterback Kyler Murray, I could see them going with a linebacker like maybe Isaiah Simmons or some, or maybe an offensive tackle too to help out Kyler Murray. They got DeAndre Hopkins, so that's going to help out their offense a lot. And, you know, I think that they have a chance to be very interesting in the NFC. And then lastly, you know, I have the Jaguars. You know, they had a really exciting season with Gardner Minshew. He's a good young QB, came out of nowhere, you know, really exciting. And I think they can just go their defense. They traded a lot of assets last year, so they might go with some type of defensive playmaker, you know, maybe a corner or maybe some help on the offensive line. So, or even a wide receiver possibly. So we'll see what happens. But all those teams, I think, are in the same range. But, you know, with a good draft, you know, any of them could potentially be a dark horse playoff team.
And let's go on to Austin now. The speed run, obviously, Austin. So let's get your quick takes on all three teams.
So one of the teams that I'm going to mention was the Jags. They just traded away their franchise quarterback, Nick Foles, even though he signed a big-ass contract with the Jags. And they traded my team, the Bears. But for the Jags and the Browns and who else again?
Cardinals.
Yeah, Cardinals. They just around with a bunch of hype. And I just think they have the talent. I just think that the media, like, just everything in general, trying to pressure them as hard as possible, and they will not execute the way they want to go. But especially with the draft picks they're going to get this year, I think it will improve them a little bit. Not like all of it, but sometimes these teams come out of nowhere. Like, look at the 49ers, for example. They were, like, 2-14 or 6-10 last season, and they went to the Super Bowl. Like, maybe one of these teams could be a playoff contender. It just depends on how well they do in this draft this year.
And Marshawn, I'll go to you for the last words on this speed round here.
Yeah, so starting off with the Cardinals, you know, I think, you know, they have a lot of potential. Obviously, you know, with Kyle Murray, you know, his first year and such, last season, you know, it didn't go as, like, well planned. You know, it's not the end of the world. You know, they just picked up DeAndre Hopkins, as Brandon was saying earlier. So I think, you know, I don't think they're a team that, like, needs, like, any, like, you know, big top dog players, you know. But if they were, I'd say, you know, they'd get somebody, you know, as a linebacker, you know, someone like Malik Harrison or Patrick Queen from LSU, you know, some real nice dogs, you know, that will actually, like, you know, get the job done. For the Jaguars, it's kind of hard to say for the Jaguars, you know, as they were saying, you know, they're supposed to be, you know, up runners, obviously, from what they did last season, you know, making the playoffs and divisions and stuff like that. You know, it was kind of like a big upset. You know, I feel like they're one of the teams that, you know, more have, like, they need, you know, some work. They definitely need some work done to the team. Getting players from offense and defense at that matter. And for the
Browns?
The Browns. I think, you know, they were a little overhyped. I think, you know, this season, I for sure think they're going to do better. Now that they've, you know, calmed down from the big hype, because, you know, even, like, I thought that they were going to, you know, make playoffs, you know, have, like, one of the best records, you know, in the NFL. So, yeah, we'll definitely see. We'll see how it goes.
And you bring up that great point. You weren't alone. A lot of America thought the Browns were going to do well. But Brandon and I were talking, you know, over the summer when I was in New York for the week. And we came together with some friends and we were chatting about the upcoming season, and we were saying, you know, where people are going to be, who's going to win which games and all that. And we both agreed. We didn't think the Browns, we thought they were way too overhyped. And so that's something to always think about. There's some teams that are just always going to get that overhyped for some reason, and some teams won't get the respect. And now, with that being said, I'm going to bring up a team. It's my favorite team of all time. It's the team I've always grown up loving, the New York Jets. You know, Brandon always likes to give me a lot of crap for this, you know.
I did that for everybody.
We talked about it over the summer as well. Like I said, oh, they're going to win a lot of games this year. They actually got a good chance. And to be fair, you know, they started off 1-7. Dismal, with filled with so many injuries, so many drama, such craziness happened for the first half of the season. But you come back from that break, they became a 6-2 team. Like, they became a team that changed. They started beating teams that they weren't supposed to beat. They started really playing like a high-caliber team that they were. You know, they had a tough loss that first game against the Bills, which they should have won, but they blew. But the team at the end of the season wasn't that same as they won. And so my point is, you know, there's a lot of hype going on around a lot of teams. Browns, Cardinals, Jaguars, Raiders, you know, the Colts. Like, these teams get the hype because they've traded in and they got new players and everyone's probably like, they're going to be it. But how about the teams that are hidden in the corner, you know, the surprise teams that come out of nowhere and just unleash hell and become this new team? You know, Baltimore Ravens, prime example. Lamar Jackson comes in. Everyone's like, well, we're not sure. But all of a sudden, they're it. They're the team. Now, obviously, they were too young a rookie team, and so they didn't go all the way against a more seasoned team as the Kansas City Chiefs. And we've got to give Kansas City their props there because they definitely deserve it. Let's go with, you know, we have the Eagles. We have the Vikings. These teams do respectively pretty well. Yet when it comes to the media presence and everything, they don't get the respect they deserve. And so I want to go into this analyzation. We're going to start off with the Jets, and we'll pick up two other teams of my liking for this conversation, for this segment here. So let's start off with the New York Jets. I'm going to give some background, but before I do that, I want your thoughts, you know, on this coming up season. And this is just a minute response from each person here. It's pretty much a quick yes or no question. Do the Jets this year have a winning record? Let's start off with Austin. Yes or no?
I say yes because I think the Jets found their rhythm and they know, like, what's the issue about their whole defense and the offense. I know the first half of the season wasn't the best with the Jets, but sometimes teams will try new things in the second half, even though their season is a complete mess. But sounds like they probably will do the same strategy for next year. And I think Jets will be a playoff contender.
Let's go to Marshawn. Yes or no?
You know, I think the Jets are for sure going to have a winning season upcoming. You know, I have a coach for Sac State. You know, he's always talking about, excuse my language, he's always talking about, you know, like the oh shit stormer, you know. And at, like, the beginning of the Jets season, they had, like, you know, that moment. And now that they're, you know, collecting themselves, you know, they have a lot of good things going. And I feel like it's going to come from their defense, because I know you guys have Quinnen Williams, and he's going
to
be
in a little legal trouble right now, but we'll get to that at a different point.
Yeah.
it's because of his own stupidity. Let's be realistic on that. But let's go to Brandon now. Yes or no? Do the Jets
say 500? I think they're going to do pretty well because of the Brady's out of the division. But I think the Bills are by far right now going to be the best team in that division. I really do like.
See, that's my problem with you and a lot of analysts is saying the Bills are going to be better.
I just think more talent, but what I can go on with is that I really like Sam Darnold. He missed those four or five games.
Because he couldn't stop kissing people. He's very talented. Like, come on.
Great kid. He's still young. He's like 22 right now. So I think that he's going to do well. I think it's going to come down to the draft. I'd like to see them add a receiver, and I think their defense is very good. You know, Quinnen Williams, Jamal Adams, those guys are really, really good. They need to add a few other pieces, but I think they signed a free agent corner. I can't remember off the top of my mind, but
yes.
I think it's going to come down to they're going to be around 8-8, in my opinion. I don't know if they're going to make playoffs yet, but with a really good draft, I think, you know, they have the potential to. And Sam Darnold, yet again, proved that he's a good player.
Even though I'm a diehard Jets fan, I'm going to have to say this. I disagree with my panel here. I don't think the Jets, sadly, are going to have a winning record. And the reason I say that is because they have the hardest schedule this year. If you look at everyone else's schedule, they're facing Kansas City. They're facing the 49ers. Facing Bills twice again. They're facing a lot of teams that are playoff caliber, Super Bowl caliber teams. And the real question is going to be, can they actually stand up and play against them? That's my thing. They could start winning all these games with the momentum they had at the last 8 games of the season. But in my opinion, you know, it's can they actually do it against the Chiefs, the 49ers, going out to face the Rams, the Chargers, you know, both LA teams. So they're facing teams that have so much potential and so much hype. You know, so that's my only worry as a Jets fan. I love to be proven wrong. I love to see them have a winning record. But I am so scared and nervous about, you know, who we're facing up in this coming up season that it makes me think, are we doing the right things? And as a fan, I would love to see them pick someone at number 11, you know, a great wide receiver or even another offensive tackle. But, you know, I'm starting to buy into the GM's philosophy. You know, he worked underneath some mega people and the Ravens and all that. And this idea of, you know, buying the second tier players, not the first tier in free agency, but the second tiers and the second tier level players who are good, but they're not superstars, but they're very good at what they do, those type of jobs. And that's a very important mentality. It saves you money, and this whole entire idea of you're getting good players, but you're getting enough money to save for other megastars if you really wanted to down the road. My question, though, is to you, do you think the Jets really should keep that number 11 overall, or should they trade that and get a couple more fourth and third round picks, which is in the philosophy of this new front office of picking up these type of tier players who are very decent, but not, you know, all-star levels? Because if they do that, they fill up a lot more positions that are needed to be filled up, and also they get pretty decent talent. I'm going to go around again. I'll start off with you, Marshawn. Do you think they should trade, yes or no? If so, why? If not, also why?
I don't think that they should trade. The only reason why I say that is because, you know, having, you know, the number 11, you know, first-round pick, you know, they have a chance to get a baller, like a true game-changer on either side of the ball for offense or defense. You know, I do agree with you saying, you know, about the GM's philosophy about, you know, the possibility of trading in that 11th pick for a third and fourth round. But at the same time, I truly feel like, you know, that pick is going to be, like, their pick that's going to, like, get them not necessarily to where they need to go, but it's, you know, it's a milestone progress, you know. So they're always there. It's just going up straight from here.
I'll go to Austin now. Yes or no, do you think they should get a trade? We heard from Marshawn, and I value his input there, but I also want to disagree and say, you know, that 11 pick is so valuable. They could get, like, three picks out of that, you know. So that's three other players. And they have the most picks, I think, second to most, is in between there for this draft. So they have a lot of mid-round picks. So do three more, maybe help them out, getting decent average players. Your thoughts? Are you in the same boat with Marshawn, or are you on my boat here?
I say they should trade away their pick to get more draft picks either this year or next year or the year after that, because their schedule is not the easiest. So if they even get a good player, I don't know if they have the talent or if they have, like, the power to beat, like, the Chiefs, the 49ers. The Bills and Jets, that's going to be, a madhouse. Like, no one knows you're going to win that game. But I don't think they have the talent to be a playoff contender for this year. But if they think about, like, the next year and long-term, like, the next 5 years, and just wait until they attack then they might have the opportunity to get even more players. But the NFL, it changed so rapidly. Like, sometimes the best team could be the worst team. The Jets could be the best team in the division. But I think they should trade away their draft pick, maybe, like, lower in the first round, and maybe get another first round next year, and maybe get a second-round pick. But it just depends on if the Jets feel like that they're confident enough to be a playoff contender this year.
Brandon, I'll end this with you.
Okay, so I think with the Jets, you know, I think trading back is always a decent decision, and sometimes even a really good decision. But I think I agree with Marshawn kind of, if their guys there, they really got to go and they should take them. They have a need for tackle and wide receiver as well as defensive needs, but you know, they could take Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, or CeeDee Lamb. Those are amazing wide receivers, but this is the deepest wide receiver class we've seen in potentially all time. You know, everyone's talking about how great it is, and if they do trade down and acquire more picks and acquire more needs, that could also be a good decision. Either way, they're a coin flip team. You know, they could contend, they could not. It's all shade and mirrors here, but what thing about trading back is that they could get a real good need in the second, third round. You look at guys like, just a name like this guy, Colin Johnson from Texas. He was a top recruit, I believe. You know, he's like the 15th, 16th best receiver, ranked receiver in this draft. Yet, if they trade down and they get they can get an extra fourth round pick and take him, he could just as well be a first round caliber player just because of how much potential he has. So trading back isn't a bad decision. And I think either decision's good, but I'd say probably keep their pick if I had to choose one.
Okay. We'll get back to the Jets, because obviously, you know, that's what's going on there is an interesting blueprint to a lot of new teams, philosophy reasons, you know, especially this idea of evaluating players. Do you really need super all-star level players, or maybe do you need two or three, and you surround them with very good players? Now, this is a new trend that I'm starting to see, and I think a lot of people are starting to see it happen in the NFL, especially because we're getting a lot of these new type of GMs who are following a old school blueprint that was made in Baltimore and several other places. We'll get back to that, but I want to go into this idea of the AFC East for a second. And this has huge impact in the draft. You know, we have the Bills, we have the Jets, and we have the Dolphins and Patriots. Obviously, Patriots, everyone is saying they're not going to do much. But I don't think we can count them out. Bill Belichick is probably a Hall of Famer, if not one of the best coaches of all time, without the scandals that he has and his team, you know, because there are a lot of scandals with him. So that does hold him back on being the true Hall of Famer, in my eyes at least. Well, I'll ask your opinions, but that's a talk for another time. But the Dolphins have three first-round picks, you know. That's amazing. Those three picks could change their level of play because they have those first-round level caliber players, which is something that's unheard of. And then you have the Bills, who are already a 10-16 from last year. And you have the Jets, who were 6-2 at the last couple of games, the last eight games. And they played pretty decent, even though they went 1-7. They had a couple close call games that in between those 1-7 that could have changed them into a winning team last year. And everyone's saying, you know, I read a couple articles from ESPN. It's the Jets season, you know, their division to lose. The only person really in the Jets' way are the Jets, which is a big statement to say, you know. And then you have the Bills. It's Bills' division to lose, just in the sense that they have the Jets, who, if they keep going on the way that they're going with the free agencies and with the draft picking that should be done this coming up draft, they might overtake the Bills. I want to ask you guys this question. Are the Dolphins the sleep team this year in the whole entire NFL, and especially in the AFC East? Are they the team that everyone laughs at and says they're not going anywhere, but with three picks in the first round, and we're not even forgetting about the other picks that they have this draft, are they the team that could surprise everyone? Well, let's start off with you, Marshawn.
You know, I've for sure seen my fair share with the Dolphins of them, you know, having, you know, not they're not so like good seasons to, you know, becoming potential underdogs. You know, I feel like they are going to be a team that is like slept on. But at the same time, I think they're going to be one of those, not necessarily like one of like the top teams this season, but they'll for sure be one of those teams that has to, they have to work for it. They have to earn it. Like one of those kind of teams, you know? Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you, but do you think with these three first round picks that this helps them? It makes them go to that next level?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, having a first round pick, you know, it's, or I should say, having multiple first round picks is, you know, obviously a blessing for any team at that matter. I feel like it's definitely one of those things where, you know, this will either make or break them.
Brandon?
Yeah, so with the Dolphins, you know, last year they were making it pretty obvious they were going into tank mode. At the end of the year, they started playing really hard, had some upsets, and showed off a bit of talent. And they had a new draft with their new coach, Brian Flores from Patriots. And I think this year, you know, they're going to drastically improve with this new draft. You know, I'm assuming they're going to take quarterback, either Tua or Herbert, most likely. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is a capable quarterback. And they went from the Tannehill era of an 8-8, 7-9 perennial team to tanking a little bit, but they added a lot in free agency, you know, getting Byron Jones, the stud cornerback from the Cowboys. And with these three first-round picks, you know, whoever they get, they're going to add a lot of talent to their team. And they probably won't win the division this year, but I think they could make some upsets. And, you know, with Brady leaving the AFC East, you know, the whole division's up for grabs. So I think they have a legitimate chance to really improve. And with and they also traded star players like Minka Fitzpatrick and Laremy Tunsil away. And those were a lot of their talented players. And now with so many picks, you know, it's only going to help them do whatever they want in the draft, and they'll fill a ton of needs. So it's really looking good for their future.
Let me ask you, Austin, this question here. He brings up the great point, you know, AFC up for grabs. How many seasons does a team now in the AFC East have to win in a row to say that it's their league? You know, the Patriots did it 2 straight years, and everyone called it, it's their league. Mm-hmm. You know, it's their division. They're the head of the East, and they're also the top dog in the whole entire conference.
Yeah.
How many seasons before one of these four teams, or five teams, I should add, the Patriots still in this mix, before we say they have become the official king of the East?
I say 2 or 3, in my opinion. It's just that for the thing about NFL teams, especially in the NFC East, a lot of teams change, like their players and all that, so it's really hard to keep up, like, the amount of, like, workload and to keep the players. Like, if you look at the NBA, for example, the NBA, it's really easy to keep the players, but for the NFL, it's hard to, like, have the same team and perform the same the way they did the other years before. For the Dolphins, they trade away, I think, almost half of their team in the second or third game of the season, and that's how they got all these picks. But I just think that they did that because they know that this year, last year, it wasn't their year, and there's no point of playing their hardest and not getting a good draft pick. So they pretty much let the young players play and rebuild or develop them in a way that they could be good in the next couple of years. So I think the Dolphins might be a team that a lot of people would be expected that they may be good, but it just depends on how they do in the draft this year.
Any last thoughts from anyone else here before we move on to another topic? No, all right. Well, this, you know, we've covered pretty much the top 11 teams. I mean, we could go on and on about the other teams in the NFL right now, and especially for the draft. But, you know, we spend a long time talking about, first, this whole entire concept. Is everyone ready? You know, is this really the best time for college athletes to be announcing for the NFL draft? We talked about training camps. We talked about the top 10 teams here. Do we see these teams actually making a trade? And also, beside a trade to maybe get better positions or go lower, are they going to be better? So we analyzed that. And I want to end up with this, you know, with this virus, we're seeing something different now. You know, I read a couple of articles, and they were, like, talking about how all of a sudden now, the teams that have their whiteboards in the war room, right? And this is where they put on all the picks that they want, where they might have to trade to get certain players, or even trade away to get more picks. That's not there anymore. You know, they have to do this all online. So I want to talk about that for a second. What are the ramifications? You know, is this really going to be harder? Is this going to change the NFL, and especially the NFL draft this year? Are we going to see a lot more problems? Are we going to see a lot more delays? Or are we going to have, surprisingly, a really smooth transition to this type of style? And could this be used more often? Because I know personally, I would love to see the war rooms stay open, because that's where things are done and have always been done. But maybe this is a time for a new change. Let's start off with you, Marshawn, a resident football star here.
Yeah, for the War Rooms, you know, I've always been on the lookout, you know, ready to see the War Rooms and the draft. You know, it's going to be different. I for sure say it would be different with, you know, all of the concerns that are going on and stuff. But at the same time, I also think it'll be oddly like a true like smooth transition through like going on with this. And especially, you know, seeing like what teams are going to do in the future for like mini camps and like other like OTAs and training sessions and stuff like that, you know. Yeah, I for sure think it'll be like a smooth transition, but it's definitely just gonna, it's gonna, you know, have a kick in everybody at the beginning of it.
Brandon, we'll go to you.
Yeah, so I think, you know, with technology today, it's not gonna be as difficult as it would have been, let's say, 20 years ago. Teams will be able to contact each other, but yet again, there are the issues of if there's a technological slip up, you know, teams are gonna, things can be affected. But I think the NFL is gonna do a good job of it. They're gonna have the best IT people involved, and I don't see it being too big an issue. The one thing that's gonna be interesting is that obviously, you know, the players don't get to shake the commissioner's hand. It's not gonna be as big a ceremony and all that, but at the end of the day, you know, they're going to get it done, and they're still going to get entertaining because we're going to get to watch it on TV and see how this all works together.
All right. That's awesome. With that being said, we're going to take a short little break, and we'll be back for closing thoughts and ideas. And we're back. We've been taking some breaks just to give our guests, you know, a little bit of a time to just get more research done and analyze for the next segment that we're doing here. But we're right now going to our closing points for this whole entire topic that we've been talking about, the NFL draft. We talked about how the coronavirus has shaped this differently. And now I want everyone's thoughts, you know, give me a minute or two of closing statements from everything that we discussed today or anything that you wanted to elaborate. Definitely tell me, you know, about it. And let's go from there. All right. So we'll start off with Austin, your closing statements, and then we'll go to Marshawn, and then we'll finish off with Brandon and then myself.
Okay. Well, I know that this virus is really bad, especially not with the United States, but around the globe. I know that sports is one of those things that we love to watch and strive. But I think the only message I have is just take it day by day and just try and be positive as much as possible, because sometimes it happens, and we hopefully that things will be back to normal soon. So, yeah.
Marshawn?
You know, with everything happening, you know, obviously it's a little different for everybody. So, you know, I just hope everybody can, you know, handle the virus, you know, in, like, the best way possible for themselves, and not for themselves, but, you know, family and friends and the community. But, you know, I'm really excited to see what happens with the seasons for sports, and yeah, I just hope everybody is able to be healthy for the upcoming season, and we'll just see how it goes on the news and updates.
And last but not least, our football fanatic himself, Mr. Seahawks, Brandon Churon.
Yeah, so I think, you know, with this virus, obviously, once sports got canceled, because it's such a global thing, you know, that's when people started to really take it even more seriously than we're taking it. And I just hope everybody's going to stay safe. I'm hoping that sports will come back soon, but we got to get this figured out. And, you know, the draft will give us a good distraction from all the chaos. But hopefully things get resolved over the summer, and I think we'll be seeing sports sooner than we think. So that's a good thing. And
yeah, just hope everybody's staying safe, because that's the most important thing, you know, to follow all the steps and the precautions that we need to take.
With that being said, I want to thank my guests, you know. I want to thank you, Austin. I want to thank you, Marshawn. And, of course, Brandon. You know, obviously, we couldn't meet all in person because of the virus. But, you know, when this all comes over and the virus is done, hopefully we can get together and do this all in person, the videos and the podcast for our fans and everything of that sort. You know, last closing statements. You know, we heard a lot from all three of our guests on this idea of having this virus playing a huge role in our lives. And I'm going to discuss that in just a moment after this short little break. Pause. So we just had a little break, and I wanted to come back to this idea. You know, we heard from our guest on his closing remarks about the coronavirus, and hopefully everyone will stay safe. And that's a really important step, you know. Everyone needs to stay safe. You got to follow the guidelines that are being put out there by the federal government and your states, individual states. However, you know, there is a big question is, when is the time to bring back some type of form of regularization? You know, like having us all have sports is something that we can all unite. And Brandon kept bringing up that point on, you know, here it is. This is giving us a little escape from reality, the NFL draft. And I completely agree with him on that. And hopefully we can figure out a way, you know, there's in talks with baseball, just doing it all Arizona and Florida and playing their teams there and doing leagues there and then doing a championship, obviously, in Florida or Arizona between the two leagues. And this is a great idea. You know, maybe we play without fans for this coming up season. Maybe we play in states that will allow sports to happen, like Arizona or in Florida. And even basketball is considering that, going to maybe Disney Resort area in Florida, which can hold them and house all these 4,300 people that are needed for staffing reasons or to play these games. So I want to close with this remark, you know. The draft is happening this coming up Thursday. You got a lot of good insight from our analysts. But the real question is, are we going to be right or are we going to be wrong? And no one knows until the actual draft day. So keep an open mind when it comes to draft day. You know, anything happens all the time. Sometimes we get it right. Sometimes we get it wrong. You know, we gave a lot of broad predictions because we do that for a reason. We're focusing on the big goals of the NFL right now because at the moment, that's all we can do. You know, if there were training camps and all that, we would have done more analyzation and really gone in depth on which players we thought should be drafted or not. But because everything is up in limbo, we thought this approach was the best way. So for my team, to you at home, I want to say thank you to everyone for listening. And please stay safe out there. You know, this virus isn't a joke. It's a serious thing. You know, and I hope we have some form of sports back in our lives soon enough so we can discuss more things than hypotheticals. With that being said, thank you and have a great rest of your day.